So we ask ourselves, where does self-concept come from? That brings us to one of the most important subjects that we'll deal with in this program. We know that every child comes into the world with no self-concept at all, that every single idea, every single attitude, value, feeling, belief that we have as adults, we did not have when we were born, that every single concept that we have of who we really are, we had to learn during the course of growing up, that each child comes into the world as pure potential, like a complete white sheet with nothing written on it, and that a child, in terms of self-concept, can develop and go in any direction depending upon what happens to them after they're born. We know that when the child is born, the child has an extremely high need for love and touching. The child comes into the world as pure sensation, and the child begins to develop their sense of self by the way he or she is responded to by their parents. A child learns whether or not he or she is lovable or acceptable or worthwhile or funny or intelligent or talented or capable by the way he or she is treated by their parents. In fact, the child has no self at all and looks into the faces of the parent to determine whether or not he or she is lovable. The child, being pure sensation, needs love and touching like roses need rain. It is impossible to give a child too much love in the formative years. Children need a constant, continuous flow of high-quality love in order to develop healthy personality. Some of the old-school ideas that let the child cry or you'll spoil him, spare the rod and spoil the child, children should be seen and not heard, these ideas were and are, if you like, prehistoric notions of child raising. The fact is that we know today that children need love as much as they need food, as much as they need shelter, as much as they need clothing. In several experiments that took place, some in the early part of this century, some as recently as the late 40s, they took children who were born and placed in state hospitals and divided them into two groups. One group of children was given continual holding, talking, touching, loving, singing, warmth, support. The second group of children had their diapers changed and were given bottles, but were never spoken to, were never held, were never sung to, and received no emotional support at all. In one experiment, which had to be stopped, and it was stopped too late, 90% of the children in the second group actually shriveled up and died of grief within the first 90 days after birth. This has been called the infant grief death syndrome. Children who are deprived of love in the formative years actually fail to grow and sometimes shrivel up and die like leaves that have fallen off a tree in the fall. The need for love is so crucial that we know that all of healthy personality is based on it. We know that the first 5 years of a child's life are absolutely the most crucial for laying down adult personality. That if the flow of love breaks down, it will cause serious personality problems, behavioral problems, and personality disorders. But if a child has an unbroken flow of high-quality love in the first 3 to 5 years, the child will be set down on a solid foundation and will be able to go on to realize their full potential. If a child does not receive high-quality love in the first 3 to 5 years, the child will develop what Abraham Maslow called deficiency needs. Just like a vitamin deficiency, if we are deprived of vitamin B and calcium in the formative years of our lives, children develop rickets. And the rickets causes their legs to bow, causes their bones to be weak, and for the rest of their lives, they'll have bowed legs. Children who are deprived of love also have the same psychological deficiencies, and for the rest of their lives, they spend much of their time trying to compensate for their deficiencies rather than realizing their potentials as human beings. We also know some other things about the developing child. We know that the child is born with two marvelous characteristics. The first characteristic is that every child is born fearless. Every child is born totally unafraid. In fact, when a child comes into the world, they only have two fears. One is the fear of falling, the other is the fear of loud noises. All adult fears that we have to be taught to us as children and taught to us over and over again by a process of repetition. The fearlessness of the child is characterized by the words, "I can." I can do anything. Children are totally unafraid of trying anything. Anybody who's ever raised a small child to the age of 4 or 5 knows that you have to spend the first few years of their life stopping them from killing themselves. They're kamikaze. They're totally unafraid of anything. They do not know enough to fear anything. Our natural state of nature is to come into the world with no fears at all. And when we look at the fears that are the great robbers of our adult lives, we must remember that every single fear that we suffer as adults we learned after birth. The second characteristic that children have is that they're born totally spontaneous, completely uninhibited, which is characterized by the words, "I don't have to." Children feel that they can do anything they want and they don't have to do anything they don't want. What is the first word that a child learns? It's no. And the second word a child learns is don't. And who teaches the child those words? The parents, by saying no and don't continually. The child learns very early that I don't have to do anything. They laugh, they cry, they throw themselves on the floor, they have tantrums, they suit themselves completely. Our natural state of nature is to be completely unafraid and completely uninhibited in our relationships with ourselves and with other people. And if you will look upon your adult experiences, whenever we find ourselves in a situation where we are completely safe and completely relaxed and we are with good friends in an area that we know very well, we revert back to our feelings and our actions of being totally unafraid and totally uninhibited.